This morning, I want to share some few thoughts with you, and I'm believing that God will minister to somebody. Amen. If you are able, can we go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2? We're reading just 3 verses of scripture, Acts chapter 2, from verse number 1 through 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you are looking, say help me, Lord. If you don't mind and you are able, can you please stand for the reading of God's word? I'd like for us to stand for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. I am reading from the New King James Version. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them, somebody say that includes me, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence today. I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people to declare your oracles to them. I pray for grace, Lord. If you can use anything, you can use me. I pray that you will speak through me. I pray that you overlook my mistakes. I pray that you overlook my weaknesses. I pray for wisdom and for clarity of speech. It's my fervent prayer today that no one under the sound of my voice, whether in person or online, will leave this service the same way they came. Touch somebody's life and let them never be the same again. I pray for this house. Greater things you have done, but greater things you are yet to do. Let there be a manifestation of your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And let the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we please be seated? Like I said, there was, I'm going to share a story with you. The reason is because I want to calm my nerves. So the story may have nothing to do with the message. It's just me calming myself. Amen. But there was an ornithology student. Ornithology is those who study birds. And he went to write his final exam. And when he got to the exam room, the professor had lined up the feet of 10 birds. And he said, for your final exam, all I want you to do is to identify the birds by their feet, write down their names, and you are done. The students were, people were, you know, they come and check things out, they're writing. One student just got, he went nuts. He went ballistics. He's like, what do you mean? When the whole bird is sitting there, I'm struggling identifying it, and now you take the whole bird, you're giving me just the feet, and you want me to look at the feet and tell you what bird it is? The guy went nuts. He said, I'm not writing the exams. I'm going out. I'm not. And the professor said, you can walk out. It's up to you. But if you walk out, I'm giving you an F for the exam. The guy was upset. He said, yeah, whatever. I'm leaving. And so as he was walking out, the professor said, hey, come back. He came back and said, what is your name? He just lifted his hand. He said, you look at my feet and tell me my name. So do you think you're so smart? You gave me 10, I'm just giving you 1. You look at my feet, you tell me my name and give me the grade. The whole point was that he wasn't ready for an exam. I pray and I hope that I'm ready for this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So this morning I want to speak on the subject suddenly. Look at your neighbor and say suddenly. Let's try it again. Look at your neighbor and say suddenly. Okay, look into the eyes of your neighbor and say, suddenly. Let me tell you something. Listen, if they couldn't look in your eyes, they've been gossiping about you. Let's try it one more time. Look in the eyes of your neighbor and say, suddenly. Amen. Amen. A man was traveling to the newfound world which is today called the United States of America. And he has heard of the stories like the Dick Whittington stories, where streets were paved with gold. And he bought his ticket and got on board, heading to the newfound world. And as the ship was heading to the newfound world, in the morning, people would go into the cafeteria and eat breakfast. He just carried a bottle of water with him and had some crackers with him. And then he would eat his crackers, drink his water, and go into his cabin. In the afternoon, he would do the same thing during lunch. In the evening, he would do the same thing during dinner. He did the same thing over and over throughout the whole trip. Just when they were about to get to the shores, one young man looked at him and said, "Sir, have you been fasting?" He said, "No." He said, "Sir, are you in some sort of prayer?" He said, "No." He said, "Then why have you not been joining us for breakfast, lunch, and supper?" The man said, "I'm sorry, but I don't have money to pay for the food." The friend looked at him and said, "Sir, you don't have to pay for it." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "When you bought your ticket, the meals were included in the ticket. So everything on the ship was free. You should have been enjoying it." You say, "What has that got to do with anything?" I came to let somebody know this morning, salvation is a whole package. It came with deliverance. It came with power. It came with prosperity. It came with your healing. It came with your breakthrough. It came with your deliverance. But if you are not careful and you do not know, you'll be sitting in your corner eating your crackers and drinking your water, knowing that you have been set free. Listen to me. God did not set you free to come into bondage again. Am I talking to somebody? Please help me this morning. Listen. I want you to hear this and hear me well. You were not born again to suffer again. But there are some of us, our Christian life makes God's word look like a mockery. Because we go from a cycle of defeat, from one defeat to another defeat. But God sent me to tell you today that it came with a package. And in that package is your deliverance. And in that package is your uplifting. And today, if you haven't heard this before, I came to announce to you that it doesn't matter how terrible things have been. There is something about God. It is called suddenly. Come on, somebody help me. There is something about God. It is called suddenly. The other day, the prophet walked into an environment in a situation in Samaria where it was dire because there was no food and people were dying of hunger to the point where bishops, mothers were killing their own children. I can understand it when fathers kill their own, because men, we are something else. But when a mother killed their own child, that is a different level of farming. But the prophet walked onto the scene and said, "Tomorrow by this time." And people looked and said, "That is impossible. If God should even open the windows of heaven." I came to announce to somebody, as I walk on this stage, I come under the anointing of the bishop and I declare over somebody's life that tomorrow by this time, it may not look like it, it may not sound like it, but something about God, it is called suddenly. Somebody shout suddenly. He said, "Tomorrow by this time," listen to me, "a single woman may not have even a boyfriend, but tomorrow by this time." You didn't hear me. Let me try this side. A barren woman may have no children, but tomorrow by this time, somebody's business may be struggling. It may not look like you are going anywhere to happen, but I came to announce to somebody, tomorrow by this time, somebody shout yes. See, many of us, we are going to heaven, but you are jealously and hungrily looking at other people's blessings, and you sit in your little corner eating your crackers and drinking your water. Listen to me. Not understanding that with salvation came certain things. But you see, as I was thinking about this on our way here from Edenville, one of the things the Holy Spirit was telling me, that tell my people that some of the blessings have delayed because I'm preparing them for what I've already prepared for them. Listen, God has no problem blessing you. But some of us, our blessings have been delayed because one of the worst things that can happen to you is to become great before you are ready. Some of us don't know how to do success well.
Somebody say capacity before content. Talk to me. Capacity before content. See, can I give you an illustration? Sir, can I have the water in the glass, please? Let me show you something. And the bottle, please. See, a lot of us, thank you, I need a cover too. We are believing God for great things. And yet, we are not even ready for what God is preparing for us. See, God, the resources of God are without limitations. How many of you know that? Let's say God, just an illustration, right? It's just water in this container. And if I come to God with this, and God will say, fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run, right? And God pours into me. How many of you know that God is not wasteful? So once I get to my capacity, what happens? God stops. He said to the woman in 1 Kings, he says, go and gather what? From all your neighbors. Some of you, if God came to you and said, go gather from your neighbors, you won't gather nothing because you are fighting with all your neighbors. Listen, if you have a problem with everybody, the problem is you. If your neighbor couldn't say amen, that is them. You know, in America, they say one of every four people have a mental issue. I didn't make it up. The American Association of Psychology, they said one out of every four in America has a mental issue. So if you're in the company of four and the three look okay. I'm just saying. Now, so, if I bring this capacity, this is all God can give to me. Because God is not wasteful. When he performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000, he said to the disciples, gather everything that is left over. It was a miracle. We didn't have to buy it. Why do we have to gather? Because God will not waste anything. Some of you, your blessings have stopped because you are so wasteful. So, mommy, if I want God to pour more, I don't even need to pray. All I have to do is enlarge my capacity. I just need to bring a bigger container and God can pour in more and pour in more and pour in more until I fill this up and I bring a bigger one. So God sent me to tell you, if you want him to fill you until you run over, then enlarge your capacity. Because you need capacity before content. I promise you, this is very true. Bishop, I don't know if you've heard of Eastwood Anaba from Ghana. Eastwood Anaba, desert pastures. He's in the northern part of Ghana. One of his pastors, very great guy, I kid you not, goes into the villages to do great things for the ministry. And his board called Eastwood Anaba and said, we should buy this young man a motorbike so he can go to the villages and do ministry. And the man of God said to them, wait. He's not ready. The board got upset. They were talking behind the great man. We are buying all these cars for you. We just need a motorbike for the man. And the man of God heard it. How many of you know when you gossip about our bishop, he hears it? I will talk to them. All of you who are silent. But the man had it. And he said, okay. Took money, bought him a motorbike. Bishop, I lie you not. I stand on this will tell you the truth. The first day, this great pastor, this evangelically in-tuned man of God, got the motorbike, went into town, got drunk, ran his motorbike into a tree, died on the spot. Isunaba stood and said to his board, I told you to wait. He wasn't ready. There are some of you sitting under the sound of my voice. If God is not careful, your blessings will take you away from God. But God is putting you through it to prepare you for what he has already prepared for you. In 1 Corinthians, they said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man. What God is trying to prepare for you, no. What God wants to prepare for you, no. What God might prepare for you, no. What God has already prepared for you. The problem with God bringing your blessings is preparing you for what he has already prepared for you.
See, when he hanged on Calvary's cross, one of the phrases he made was that it is finished. But you know, Jesus wasn't speaking English, right? Just so you know. The word, the phrase it is finished in the Greek is actually one word, tetelestai. The tetelestai was used in three contexts. Number one, it was a legal term. In a court of law, when the judge stands before you after you have been condemned and says you are supposed to do so and so, and the judge stands before you and says tetelestai, it means that whatever crime you committed, the sentence has been fully served. You are a free man. But it was also a financial term. If I owe pastor, and pastor looks at me and says, sir, tetelestai, it means whatever debt you were owed to me is fully paid. But it was also a military term. When the army general stands before his army and says to them, tetelestai, he says the battle has been completely won. So when Jesus Christ said tetelestai, he said every debt you owe, because of sin, because of your weakness, because of your struggles, I came to announce to somebody that the debt has been fully paid. The battle has been fully won and the sentence has been fully served. Somebody lift up your right hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because it is settled.
And you say, brother, what has that got to do with anything? They move all of that into Acts chapter number 2. You know, let me help you with something. The church was birthed in a day. We will go into glory in a day. It won't be long now. Hallelujah. But stay with me. There has been preparation. There has been gathering. Things have happened. And then Bible says one day, in verse number 2, he said, they were all together in one accord. You know, it's important. I don't have time to exegete the text for you, but Bible says they were all together. You know, we can all be together and not be in accord. But Bible says they were all together and in one accord, and then suddenly. The word suddenly means hastily, quickly, without warning. So, Bishop, they were waiting. They waited for a day, 2 days, 3 days. They waited. Peter looked at them and said, you know what? I am going back to sea. He was tired of waiting. Listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can get tired waiting for a supervisor to call you for that promotion. You can get tired waiting for the bank to call you for that loan. But don't you ever get tired waiting on the Lord. Because if he said he will come, then I came to announce to somebody, he will come in his time and in his season. He does all things beautiful. He's the God of impossibilities. That which is impossible to man is possible with God. If God said you are going to have a baby, I don't care if you are 90 years older. Because God can take a Sarah who has never known any base, and God can turn an old woman to have a baby. If God says it, I believe it, it is settled. Somebody say, I hear you. God can take. Oh, the other day he comes to a virgin woman. Have you ever heard of a virgin being pregnant before? I mean, we read that story, you know what? And Mary was a virgin, and Mary got. Listen, it is not today where sex has become so prevalent, everybody sleeps with anything. You know, in that culture, in those days, for a virgin to be pregnant, it meant death. That teenage girl was going to be stoned to death. And so she asked the most intelligent question of the angel, said, how can this be since I have not known a man? See, some of you read that story, you just brush past it. Mary was a teenager. If you lived in my house, you come home as a teenager and tell mama you are pregnant. She will knock you into tomorrow. Now, I'm not even kidding you. You don't even come home. Today we parade our boyfriends and our girlfriends in front of our parents. And you bring your boyfriend home. You better tell mommy she's your steady mate or something. But today, listen to me. Today, and I speak to you as a brother and as a friend, the church has become so interestingly funny. If you are looking for the church, you find the church in the world. If you are looking for the world, you find the world in the church. Let it not be so with Siloam. Let us raise up the standard. When somebody marries from this church, let them know they have a jewel they are taking home. Let them know they have an asset, not a liability. Let them know they have a wife, not a knife. If they come to find a man in this house, let them know that they have a man indeed. Not a confused species of a female. There was once upon a time when I could tell a boy from a boy and a girl from a girl. Today I'm so confused. But you look at that culture, and this young girl receives that word from the, and she asks the question, how can this be? And the angel said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible. And the next thing he said was, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Are you still here with me? And that which is impossible with men shall become possible. Let me announce to somebody, you don't have to have what it takes. What is required, there's something called grace, undeserved and unmerited favor. Oh, come on, somebody, are you still here with me? You see, if you don't know the grace that I am under, you cannot be jealous of the things that came to me, because I may not look like it, but when grace makes a way, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. Can I have the instrumentalist with me? Is it okay? Please, instrumentalist, please. Please come. Please come. Yeah, please come. Please come. Where are the rest? Please come. Let's just have, I have a few minutes. Let's just have church. Amen. Amen. Where are they? Please come. Please come. I'm sure they haven't left me. I listen to you. You better come and listen to me too. Hey, I sat the whole time listening to them. They better come and sit and listen to me. Where are the choir members? Please help me. Take your microphones. If you don't remember anything, I want to leave you with this. God will make a way. Because he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. That which man said cannot be. I came to announce to you that who is it that said, and it came to pass when God has not approved it. If God says yes, no Nobody can say no. Hello, somebody. I used to. Look, I'll get to it in a little bit. Somebody say suddenly. Come on, shout suddenly.